All right. I'm going to try to speak American. I cannot promise that I do not believe I speak American. I think I speak English. And every now and then I have to use American words. And somebody was making fun of me last night. Brother Richard was making fun of me last night because I say the will of God, then it's not a sheep with the wool that you get from the sheep, but it's the. So I said I'm going to have to speak and say the will of God, so something like that, so you can get it. But I think you'll catch the drift. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I officially have 21 minutes to preach this message. And the assignment given to me is our Worldwide Grace Commission. And I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit this evening. And we'll see how time goes. I've got enough information here to keep you 2 hours here. And if you guys agree, I can preach all the information here, and we won't have Russ preaching after me. Is that okay? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God is beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." If you have come to a place in your life, if you come to a place where you know for sure that you have eternal life, you know for sure that you have trusted Christ and believed the gospel and trust the gospel, you have been made the righteousness of Christ, in Christ, in God, has made you him in his righteousness. That's where you and I stand, in his righteousness. That is what the gospel of God's grace brings us today, a position where we can stand before God in righteousness. And the way that he did that was to make Christ sin for us who knew no sin. And God says, "I want to reconcile every man to me. I want to reconcile every man to me through my Son, through his death, burial, and resurrection. I want to make every man righteous." You and I have a worldwide grace commission. We have a commission of God that we the message is to every man. I want to show you tonight that in spite of the nation of Israel, the scope of our message that we have is there is no limitations by who we need to start off and where we start the message. We don't have to get Israel saved first. We don't have to get Israel to get the message first and then go to the rest of the world. But you and I can go to every man, any place on this planet and share the gospel with him straightforward right out of the finished work of Christ on Calvary. That is your and I's commission. I grew up in church not understanding that information, knowing the differences, but we have an every man commission. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2 in your scriptures. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Verse 4 says, "Who will have," how many, who? "All men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for" who? "For all, to be testified in due time." So God's will and God's desire, if you want to know God's will for your life, God's will is for all men to be saved. God's will is not for men just to be saved, but to come to the knowledge of the truth. You and I have the commission to take that information which we know and understand. Hey, I am saved. Hey, I've come to the understanding of the truth, to take that information and share it with the world out there. and show people how they can, with that how Christ was a ransom for all. That in spite of the nation of Israel, in spite of the prophetic word that was promised from the beginning that Israel was going to be a nation and a holy priesthood, that she has to be, but Israel rejected Christ, rejected her Messiah, rejected the one by whom she's going to be blessed and by whom the rest of the world's going to be blessed and all nations. It was never a secret in the Bible or in the scriptures that the nations of the world will have a salvation. It had to come through Israel first, however. But in spite of the nation of Israel today, who's blinded and set aside today, you and I can go directly to any man. By the way, I'm not sure if Brother Rick said it last night, but if you look at an Israelite today, he has no right to say, I'm the circumcision of God. He's just like you and I, a Gentile. There's no more difference. So I got to treat an Israelite like I treat a Gentile, anybody, the same way, and the same message. My message is not to a nation. My message is to every man who will have all men to be saved. Okay? And bring the finished work of Christ to their knowledge. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, if you will turn with me there. Romans 3, verse 22 says, let's go read. From verse 19, says, now we know that things now what things soever the law saith, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, what? Of Jesus Christ, unto who? Unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no, what? Difference. God's righteousness is available to every man in Christ Jesus. There is no difference. There is no difference. Amen? Yeah, Calvinists don't get this. If you've been trained in a theological college, you're not going to get this. You're not going to understand it, because he's going to believe in a limited atonement, a limited redemption. Christ didn't die for all, but the scriptures is clear over and over for what I've read this thing. Christ died for every man. When he paid for the sin, he paid for the sin of every man. But what God wants, and we look at that verse in chapter 3, verse 22, says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that what? What do you have to do? Believe. How can you say that Christ died for every man? Everybody's going to go to heaven eventually. So everybody is saved anyway, because Christ paid for everybody's sin. What God's word is very clear for us to say, you know, God saves them that what? Believe. You got to believe God's free gift. You got to accept it. Believe it. That's how easy it is. You don't have to give anything in turn for it. Just believe it. That's an easy message to take to somebody. But why is it so difficult for people just to believe that? Why is it so integrated? Oh, you know, are you sure? No, it's free. I get emails and I get text messages. And I find, oh, you've got a free gift. I said, no, I don't. Nothing's free in this world. You give me something, but you take something from me. You're going to haunt me for the next 3 months to try to sell me, or for the next 2-3 years to sell me timeshare or something. It's not free. But the gift of eternal life, the finished work of Christ, is free. Just believe. Just believe. He gave himself a ransom for all. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of, again, all men, especially of those that what? Believe. People get mad with me when I say that people were going to go to hell and to eternal separation from God and damnation with their sins paid for. I have people that get mad with me when I say that. But that's the fact. Christ saved those that believe. But let's get back a little bit to the nation of Israel. Go back with me to the book of Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We say, oh, great, worldwide grace commission is to every man. Our worldwide grace commission is to every man. We don't have to preach and try and get Israel converted first. In Matthew chapter 10, the Lord calls his disciples. By the way, when you see in Matthew chapter 10 verse 1 says, and when he had called unto him the 12 what? Disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of these 12, what's the next word? So how do they go from disciples to apostles? He gave them power. He gave them authority. He gave them a message and a job to do. The first time, I said, we're going to pass over those names. Let's go to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and command them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and to the city of Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So who are the 12 apostles? The 12 disciples became 12 apostles. Their commission was to go to who? In Matthew 10. To the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We see very clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ, even in Matthew chapter 15, when the Canaanite woman wanted him to heal her daughter, that he's ignoring, and he says, but I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he calls this Gentile woman a what? Basically, a dog. I can't take the food that's for the children, give it to, cast it to dogs. And the woman says, well, you're true, Lord, that's right, but I'll take the crumbs that falls from the master's table. That gentle woman knew, understand what her place was in God's economy and what God was doing. And the 12th commission was to go to get Israel saved first. But after the Lord resurrected, he sends him out, and we saw last night that he sends the 12th out to all nations. But to all nations, there is a limitation. They couldn't just go. Peter couldn't just say, or the 12, one of them that was with him said, okay, Lord, here we go to all nations, Matthew 28, 19. By the way, let's just turn there quickly. Matthew 28, 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And I know I'm going a little bit fast, right? Yeah. Because I'm on a time restraint. I got to do an hour's message in 20 minutes. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. All nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things so whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So their commission is to go what? To all nations. So could Peter's right say it there, or John, or anybody says, you know what? I'm going to take a trip, and I'm going to go over to Italy and start preaching there. Could he do that? No, he had to start. The beautiful thing, and the thing that I love about God's Word, it doesn't leave you and I wondering, what is you saying, Lord? Because there's different aspects, and there's a verse. There's always one verse that is going to explain another verse for you and give you more detail that you need. That's why we need to give our attention, study the Scripture so that we can get these things. You get what I'm saying? If you go over with me to the book of Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. What is the next word? Beginning at where? Jerusalem. Who's in Jerusalem? The Jews. Israel's in Jerusalem. That's where you start. And Matthew, go over with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8. Excuse me. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me both where? In Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You go through the Matthew book of Acts, or chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, where do these guys find themselves? In Jerusalem. They haven't moved. And they were not preaching their message by chapter 11 to none, but unto who? Jews. They got the commission that they did. But Israel rejected, obviously, a Messiah, crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, nailed him to the cross, stumbled at the cross, and I'm not going to go through all the material because we don't have time to do it, stumbled at the cross. Should they stumble that they shall fall? God forbid, but rather for their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. They stumbled at the cross. God gives, the Holy Spirit had poured out. They testify by the power of the Holy Spirit. They're testifying of who Christ was and for Israel. And what do? They reject the testimony of the Holy Ghost of who Christ was. And they killed Stephen. And God says, I'm going to set the nation of Israel aside. And things change. The commission, the so-called Great Commission that God gives, the 12, now changes. And God takes now and raises up a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, saves him magnificently by his grace, gives him a message called the gospel of God's grace. A new message. A message where every man's equal now. An every man message. The message, the Galatians chapter 2. Go with me there, Galatians chapter 2 quickly. And if you haven't heard me before, I just get excited like this sometimes. So that's the way it is. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 7, but contrawise, when they saw that the gospel of the what? Uncircumcision was committed unto me. Who's me there? Paul. The gospel of uncircumcision was committed unto Paul, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. We understood and we saw that Peter's message is to every man. Peter's message is to all nations, is to the whole world, but they had to start where? Jerusalem. That's the gospel of the uncircumcision. When the gospel of the circumcision, I'm sorry. The gospel of the circumcision, that is their commission. That is the great commission they have. Start at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other part of the world. Get the whole world. Well, when Christ comes and set up his kingdom, and Israel is going to be a holy priesthood, them that are Gentiles are going to come to him and grab to the skirt of him that is a Jew and hold on and says, God is with you and we're with you. And they're going to have the salvation. And they're going to have the blessings in that kingdom. Never, ever look at what's going to happen in the kingdom. It's like, you know what, that's second rate. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great time if you live in that kingdom. When you have the Lord reigning in Jerusalem with his nation, that's going to be a pretty neat place to be at. But that's what they're going to do. But what happened there, and after the Lord commissions Paul with his message and reveals to him the revelation of the mystery, progressively give it to Paul. Paul goes up to Jerusalem and shares with what's going to happen and told him what God has done for him. And you know what Peter and the others do? They said, well, God gave us the authority to go preach this message, but we understand what God is doing. The plan has changed. Guess what? We're handing over to you the Great Commission now. You go and do what God's told you to do. And Paul's message is the message that goes to every man. It goes to where Christ is not even named. He's going to go there. And hopefully we get it there tonight, but I doubt it. I could 4 minutes. It's not going to happen. But that's what I'm sharing stuff here that I should spend so much more time on. I'm sure Brother Richard's going to spend some time on that maybe tomorrow and some of the details. I'm not telling him what he should preach tomorrow, but that's what's going to happen. But when Peter and the others saw what God was doing and understand now the new commission and understand what is happening now and Esau being set aside and blinded for a season, they had to understand it. But some of the stuff was hard for them to understand, but they had to understand it. But you know, Peter didn't say, oh man, I wanted to do that. No, Peter says, praise God, hallelujah, you go, brother. You go. And when somebody walked up to Peter and says after that, he says, Peter, I want to be saved. What must I do? He says, well, you know, God gave Paul a message, and this is what he does. This is the message. Did you get that? And so Paul goes out, and he starts preaching. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul is preaching, man. Oh, man. He's preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. And verse 7. And verse 7 in chapter 3 says, we should read by your time read the first few verses. But 7 says, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the, what? The Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see, how many men? Who men? What men? All men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. He doesn't say first Israel and then the rest. He says all men. The sad thing today, there's people in this world, there's Jews in this world, Israelites in this world that has gone through the circumcision, going to the temple every week and stuff. You know what? And they lost, and they don't get this message. They can be blessed without Israel being blessed. They can have the blessings that you and I have. All spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Made accepted in the Beloved by just believing Paul's, my gospel, the one that God gave him. And we need to take that gospel, and we need to take that good news. Obviously, I don't even know if I finished up here, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So the message that Paul is preaching, where was it all the time until Paul got it? It was hid in God. You could not go back in the Old Testament and look back and say, oh, here it is what God was going to do. No, God hid it in himself, this message. You tell a Jew in time past, guess what? God's going to save the Israelites in spite of you. God's going to save the Gentile in spite of you. Guess what? A Gentile's going to die. You make a statement like that. Because they are the covenant people. They are the Israel, so-called Israel of God. They are the circumcision that call those other guys the uncircumcision. You're standing on the other side of the wall. You have no thing with God. You're without God, without Christ, without the covenants, and without hope in this world. That's who you are. But Paul comes along in the scene, and he gets the revelation of the mission. He says, you know what? You're not without God. You're not without Christ. Because Christ, when he died on that cross, died for you. And I can go straight to you as a Gentile and preach the message to you. I can preach to a man, a woman, a child. That's why we have the camp and we can have everything. I can preach that message to you and you can get who you are in Christ. And that's free. You're not even under the law anymore. You're under grace now. You're not under having to keep certain holy days and Sabbath days anymore. You're under grace now. You don't have to observe months and times and years and seasons. You're under grace now. You have the free gift. All your sins has been taken away. I believe that David understood that issue of redemption, but Peter and the 12, when God gave this commission, Paul shared it with them, they must have rejoiced in this. I don't think Peter was in any way better. There's some things that Peter did in the beginning that Paul withstood him to the face because of what he did in Galatians 2. But I'm sure Peter, being full of the Holy Ghost, said, man, God, you know, I get what you're doing. But praise the Lord, man. We give God the thanks for a time of grace and peace. Because you know what's the next thing that these guys were expecting? What's the wrath of God? Not the wrath. Get it right now. It's not the wrath. It's the wrath of God, okay? They were expecting the wrath of God. That's what they were expecting. They were getting ready for it. They sold everything to that. Now suddenly the whole thing changes over. And the 12 says to Paul, you know what? Just remember the poor saints. And Paul goes about in the beginning of this ministry and he's taking offerings and collections and for those saints in Jerusalem. Because he sees them as beloved too. They are saints. Our grace commission is to preach the message of reconciliation. We've just go with me to 2 Corinthians again. I'm going to try not to be too long here, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What has God given them? The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Then he says, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Because what should God have done by now? If the dispensation of grace never started, if Paul never started with this message of God, of the gospel of God's grace, the revelation of the mystery, what was the next event in the prophetic calendar? God pouring out his wrath. God did not commit their trespasses unto them. You know, God forgave them, and Christ saved and paid for all their sins. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He's given us the word. You know what? To be an ambassador, in verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what it means to be an ambassador? For somebody to say that you're an ambassador, that's a high-class job, don't you think? That's a high-paid job. If you're in working for a country, you can have the poorest country in the world, and they can send you off to be ambassador in America for that country. Guess what? You're going to live like a king compared to what the poor country live out there. It's a high-class job. And so an ambassador is something like, wow, you represent somebody else, and you speak on somebody else's behalf. And that's why Paul says, we pray you in Christ's stead. Christ is not here speaking to you. Guess who's speaking to you right now? Me, the ambassador of Christ. Me, a saint of the Most High God. Me, a believer in this dispensation of grace, are speaking to you in Christ's stead. And because God has committed to me, not your soul in my trust, but God has committed to me his word in my trust. And I share with you his word. You get that? When he's committed to us, he's committed us the word of reconciliation. It's not my job to say, Robert, I want to make sure that you get reconciled to God. And if you say, I'm not interested, to go and haunt you and say, you know what? Get saved or die. You're going to be reconciled to God today. Whatever it's matter. You know, it's not my job. My job is to say, you know what? Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. God says to me, he's done that for you by his grace and by his love. He became obedient unto death and paid for your sin. He was raised again for your justification. All God says, believe that. When you believe that, you know what? God has reconciled you to himself. Not me saying, hey, look at that, it's another guy. I got him. That's not our job to fill out a bunch of books and say, look at all these people, I get saved. No, God has just committed to me his word. And his word works effectually. His word is what's going to convict you. When I share that word of reconciliation with you, I wish I could have so much more time to talk about the committing of that word, the issue of that word that was committed to us. You and I, as members of the body of Christ, are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ on this planet. We yearn, we preach, and we speak in Christ's stead. The ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation, was committed to our trust, to guard and protect it, to teach it, to share it. Paul says in Colossians chapter, Colossians chapter 1, I was going to say 2, but it's 1. It's a good thing I look at my notes. I sound clever, you know. I didn't make a mistake. Colossians 1, verse 28. Let's go read a few verses back there. Verse 25 says, wherefore I am made, Paul says, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of you, this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Among the Gentiles, guys, you get that? Not among Israel, among the Gentiles. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom, verse 28, see, word by verse, I want to get you. Whom we what? Preach. We preach Christ and him crucified. And we preach the cross, the power of God unto salvation. We're not ashamed of that. We preach that. We preach Christ. We warn every man. Warn every man from the wrath, from hell, from those that subvert the truth, from those that wrestle the truth. Warn them that it's going to come wolves and people in that's going to want to twist that and change the doctrine. We warn. And what is it? It says preaching, warning, and then teaching every man. Teaching that words of the doctrine. Teaching that. To who? every man. To every man. In all wisdom. Why? Why do we preach? Why would he warn? Why would we teach? That the desired result is that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. By the way, it's not me presenting him perfect in Christ. It's him I preach of what I warn, of what's, what they have to be warned about, and what I teach about that sound words, the word of reconciliation, the sound doctrine of God's word, the revelation of the mystery, that information I preach to them. You know what? That is going to do the work and present them perfect. When I understand that and working them, they present it perfect. It's not me that's saying, okay, you know what? I think Robert is perfect now. Let him get up here. They asked me if he should preach this year. He's 7 years. I said, no, I don't think he's ready. Give him another year. But it's not my job to say he's perfect. You know what? He is already perfect. How's he going to get that? By the doctrine. He's going to understand that. We have such a wonderful message, man. We have such a wonderful, liberating message. Such a wonderful word that is alive, that can work effectually in them that believe. If we just realize what we have, we realize the ministry God has committed to us. You don't need apostles anymore. You need the prophets anymore. He's got his word and he's got saints. He says, take my word and just share it. It's going to do the work. It's complete. It's going to work. You just share it with them and it's going to work. You know how liberating that is? So many years I've tried to make people come around and do things and be centered Christians. What a waste of time. My job's to preach the word. Committed to me is the word of reconciliation. That's the word. Give it to them. When I take it in, it works. It produces in them what God wants to produce in them. You know, Paul says, I've planted his Apollos' water, but God gives the what? Increase. That's what we do today. And we have an every, and coming back, and I'm going to start closing off here, but we have an every man ministry to every man on this planet. I have ministry in Kenya and Sierra Leone, South Africa and Zambia, and people in Uganda that I minister with. You know, it's not, you know, I first have to go to Israel. I'm not saying in my mind and spiritualize what the scripture says. Oh, you know what? Edgewater is my Israel. It's my Jerusalem. And then I'm going to move over to Deland, which is my Judea. And then I'm going to move over. You know, that's a bunch of junk. That's not what God's word says. God was very clear what he was doing with the nation of Israel, the ministry that they had to go and take out there. But I can go anywhere, everywhere in the world, and when I see people, doesn't matter who it is, they need the Lord. I walked into Verizon because I had some issues to sort out with the phone. And they, you know, they got these iPads and the computers, they sit there, and I go from computer to computer. And I write there, Christ died for your sins. I go to the next printer, because when I read it up and split it up, I've got Christ, I put the gospel in all those machines there, you know. You know, you got to work. You know, do the work for you know, just preach the word, you know. Preach to every man. You don't know who's going to come in there and want to look at the iPad and say, oh, there's the gospel. Switch it off, you know. Let's walk away from it quickly, you know. There it is, right in your face. Every man. We don't say, I hope it's an Israelite that's going to come in here next to see that. No, I don't care who comes in and sees it. When they get it, they get saved. Praise the Lord. That's how easy it is. There is no more Jew, no more Gentile. There's no more bond or free, no more male or female. We're all one in Christ. It's a wonderful time to live in. We have 2,000 years of this time of God's grace, grace and peace. We should occupy that time. We should go to, Paul says, go with me to Romans 15. And I'm not even on my notes now. I'm just going to go. Romans 15 and verse 20 says, Paul says, so, yea, Romans 15 verse 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. You know where Paul wanted to preach the gospel? He didn't want to go build on somebody else's foundation, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He wants to go to the regions beyond. He wants to go to places where Christ is not named, where nobody spoke about Christ. He wants to share those people Christ. You know who's the people you need to share Christ with? Who's the people we need to share the gospel with? It's people that don't go to church, people that's never saved. Those are the ideal people. I mean, I'm going to take anybody. Okay, I'm going to take every man. A guy's in the church that is not saved, I'm going to take him and share with him too. But you're going to get the baggage with that. Doesn't mean you should not. But you should go to every man that hasn't got the gospel. Give him the gospel. I'm going to tell you, there's people in this country, in your cities, in your workplaces that has never heard about Christ, and never heard about the gospel of God's grace. They may maybe heard some fractions of God's word, but they don't understand the gospel. A free, what do you mean a free gift? Okay, I got you. As soon as I say yes, I'm going to have to be baptized? No. You're complete in him. He died for all your sin, past, present, and future. He's going to make you complete in him. He's going to make you accepted in the beloved. You are complete in him. Right at that moment, he's going to bless you with all spiritual blessings in every places, and he's going to seal you with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. You have eternal life once you believe this. What? No, it can't be that easy. Yes, it is. That's how straightforward it is. Don't complicate the word of God. Don't complicate the gospel. It's straightforward. God loved you. Christ died for you, paid for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's about it. That's the gospel wherein you stand. That's a message we have to share. And we have to strive to go to the regions beyond. We need to go where people not heard about Christ. And that doesn't mean we have to go to some dark place in Africa. Because these people, I've met people in my own town that has not known about Christ. We think they do. They don't. We think it because on TV, people don't listen to that. Don't hear the word. We have an opportunity to share the gospel of God's grace. We have a worldwide grace commission to every man. Because Christ died for every man. And he wants every man to be saved. He wants every man to come to the knowledge of the truth. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. You don't want to do that. His righteousness demanded, but you don't want to do that. He wants every man to be saved. That's his will. You and I are acting in his stead on this world. Whether you like it or not, you are. We are, as believers, in the body of Christ. Committed to our trust is the word of reconciliation. You just sit and go and take the word there. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is. I believe the word. It is. Share that. God wants to reconcile the world. And the beautiful thing that we understand today, God's not just going to reconcile the earth to himself, but he's reconciling what we understand today, things in heaven, to himself. He's not just going to take over the authority on this earth, but he's going to take the authority over in the heavens. And guess by who and who's going to be laborers together in the heavenlies? Who's going to be reigning there in the heavenlies? You and I. Woo! We're living an exciting time, man. Praise God for that. I'm so happy for that. I'm so thankful to God. I'm so thankful for his living, eternal word. I'm also thankful for a worldwide commission. In spite of a nation of Israel. In spite of the nation of Israel. So we have a task ahead of us. We need to reach out to the regions beyond. Paul's desire was that. Paul wanted to preach Christ, preach the gospel where Christ is not named. Who's our pattern? So Paul didn't want to go preach where Christ is not named. So where should we want to go preach Christ? Where he's not named. He wanted to go to the regions beyond. Where should we want to go? But you know how we're going to get to the regions beyond? You know how we're going to get the word out there? Because you know what is the tool today to get the word out there? It's the internet. Whether we like it or not. It's the new technology. You know how do we do that? You know how Paul wanted to reach to the regions beyond? You could study that piece in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't have time to do that now, but you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You go study it out. Paul says, you know what? I trust that your faith will grow so strong that you'll enable me to go out to the regions beyond and preach the gospel there. I don't want to go build another man's foundation. By the saints' faithful giving and helping and enablement to do that, that's where we're going to get the gospel to the regions beyond. That's our worldwide commission. And you know what? We have a worldwide web now. So we can take a worldwide commission, and it's so much easier to get it out there and all over the place in people's faces. You know, if I have to open up an internet site and some advertisement for some timeshare or for some miracle cream or whatever is in my face, why can't the gospel be in my face? In other people's faces. You know, be not ashamed of it. Let's get out there and be bold about it. I don't know, we shouldn't be idiots about it. We shouldn't belittle anybody. God wants us to live peaceably with all men. We should do it in love, in the same love that Christ loved us. That's the way that we should go out there and minister. Father, we thank you this evening for your word, and we realize we didn't do full justice to your word in this passage here, but we are thankful for the ministry of reconciliation. We thank you that you have reconciled us to yourself, and we thank you for Christ's finished work on Calvary, and that's how he did it. Thank you that you have and want to reconcile the whole world to yourself, every man. We thank you that you've committed that word of reconciliation, that message, that gospel, that doctrine, that teaching to our entrusted to us to share it and just to share your word. We thank you that your word is a living word working effectually in them that believe. We thank you for this, and we praise you for this in Christ's name. Amen.